This is a Locker Room Production.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name's Michael the Hebrew Hammer Brown, and this is another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shake, The Dream Take Podcast. Tonight, we are celebrating here on Locker Room with a 114-110 victory for our America's Houston Rockets. Lucas, always good to hear from you, my dude. Once again, the Houston Rockets win tonight, 114-110. We hope everybody out there listening to the show had an absolutely fantastic weekend. It was absolutely spectacular leading off the week with a win tonight against the Orlando Magic. The Rockets improved their record to 15-42. The Orlando Magic dropped their record to 18-39. So as people come in to find this post-game show, go ahead and throw a comment down if you would like to talk with me here tonight. We should have Mr. Raymond Lucas joining the show here soon. Jake, always good to hear from you, my man. Anybody who wants to come on and talk a little Rockets basketball, our phone lines are open. So go ahead and hit the microphone button to request to speak. We will get you in here on the show this evening for the Orlando Magic tonight in the box score category. Mr. Okeechi, their power forward, had 14 points. Carter Jr. had 11. Cole Anthony had 16. Gary Harris had 16. Dwayne Bacon, nice player for them, 22 points. Mo Bamba, 11 points and 9 rebounds for the Houston Rockets. Kelly Olynyk, another spectacular game, 39 minutes played, 24 points, 7 rebounds. Jayshon Tate, 14 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. We're going to get to his performance in a little more depth here in a few. Christian Wood, 25 points, 10 rebounds, 4 of 9 from the 3-point line. He did shoot 9 of 18 from the field as well. 3 assists, had a great game tonight. Avery Bradley, for some unknown reason, got to play 34 minutes tonight, 2 of 8 from the field for 7 points. Kevin Porter Jr. This evening was a lot of foul trouble. He ended up fouling out with about 6 minutes left in the game. But he had a fantastic game as well, 22 points, 7 assists. Armani Brooks, my dude, my man from the University of Houston, 26 minutes on the court. It was great to get him as many minutes as we did. And he had 16 points, 5 of 6 from the field. KJ Martin Jr., 6 points, 22 minutes on the court. DJ Wilson, no points, 0 of 5 from the field. So unfortunately, he had a rough go of it from the field this evening. Did give us some solid minutes on the defensive end. However, looks like the room is starting to grow. So thank y'all so much for hopping in on this Sunday evening here celebrating a Houston Rockets win. And it looks like we got my dude, Mr. Raymond Lucas. What's up, sir?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Oh, man. I am just living the dream. Rockets win. It was a beautiful weekend. How are you, sir? It's been a while since you and I have talked.
I know. It's been a really long time. I think the last time we talked, I guaranteed a win. And then the Rockets went on a very long losing streak. So I think I was serving a suspension or something.
Well, I mean, it's good to have you back. Your writing has been spectacular on the website, by the way, so mazel tov to you on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, your thoughts on tonight's game real quick before we get into some of the details, just overall?
I think it was really nice seeing a young team close a game because it's like young teams always fight. They always make it competitive, but sometimes they struggle to close. And tonight we've seen two young teams, so someone has to close, and I'm glad that it was the Rockets.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, there was some stuff that I love tonight. Jayshon Tate, like, hashtag be right back. I'm going to go order a Jayshon Tate jersey in every single kit that the Rockets have. He just gets better and better, man. like just night in and night out, his game is improving game in and game out. It's spectacular to watch.
Yeah, I don't blame you for getting that jersey. I think it's going to be very popular very soon. But it's really cool seeing, like I was saying, the young team thing. These are guys who we probably wouldn't have seen get a chance to shine if the team was still a contender. But since the team is rebuilding, we get to see guys like Jayshon Tate have big nights and guys like Armani Brooks have big nights. It's just a really cool thing to see because I think these are players that will help later into the rebuild.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we get some more people here into the room, if you guys would like to hop on with me and the legend himself, Raymond Lucas, go ahead and hit the speaker button and we will bring you on to the show. And we would love to have you guys on. Yeah, you know what, man? Christian Wood, I thought was good tonight. I thought he played a really good game too. I mean, Orlando sucks, right? Like, let's not mince words, you and I, because you know we keep it real here at the Dream Take. Mm-hmm. Orlando's awful, but I think we're just a little less awful than they are. And I feel like tonight was a good win in the movement forward, if you will. Do you agree with that sentiment, or were you hoping for a loss tonight, candidly?
Oh no, I definitely agree with you because I think when you're rebuilding, obviously you're going to lose a lot of games, but there's just some games where if you lose, there's going to be memes all over social media and all that. Like, they lost to the Magic, so it's really cool to see them get this one because that would have been a very bad loss.
We now have another legend himself from across the pond, Mr. Jake Mountford. Jake,
what's you're up?
On with the Hebrew Hammer and Mr. Ray Lucas. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You guys good?
Yep. Oh, you know, the Astros got killed today, but I think we're doing okay with this Rockets win. What are your thoughts on this game, my man?
It's entertaining, you know, like Tate doing, you know, what he's always been doing, which is playing hard on both ends. I was going to highlight a certain thing, though, is I think Houston's bench, like in the past few games, has been quite poor. If you look on the past few games and then you see someone like Armani Brooks, you know, who's shooting lights out for the whole game. Once our team's fully healthy and, you know, all in back and everything like that, I think we start seeing some real scoring from our bench. And I think that's important for Houston, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it's also important to note that this team is playing currently without Sterling Brown, David Nwaba. People forget about David Nwaba, Eric Gordon, and Daniel House. Like, I feel like this team is not the worst team in the league. It's not even close. But I feel like Armani Brooks is going to be a guy that is going to be a Rocket for years to come. I think he's everything that we're looking for. What do you think, Ray?
Yeah, I definitely agree because it's hard to find great shooters that don't really seem to get too cold. Like, you see guys that get streaky. Danny Green recently, once he gets cold, it's like it gets really bad. But with Armani, he just looks like he's shooting with confidence. And I think that comes in a game where it's not a big thing whether you win or lose. And so you're kind of seeing that through him. I think he'll be definitely like a six-man role as this team gets better in the future.
Yeah, Jake, what do you think about watching this game tonight? Mo Bamba would have been a perfect Rocket, by the way. Like, that guy. Mm. I like Mo Bamba. I'm a big fan of Mo Bamba. But Jayshon Tate needs to be in talks for Rookie of the Year. They were talking about it on the broadcast tonight, but Jayshon Tate, he's played every single game. The dude just comes out, balls out. Like, I feel like he should be in the talk of Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the reason he's not being talked much is just because, you know, he's not all offense. Like, his defensive game is so impressive, and like he really just, you know, for the whole game he is like working as hard as he can, you know, gets really important steals. Like the commentary said today, like he got the block on one end and when I got the 2 points on the other end, like he is one of the most important players in the team, and that for me is Rookie of the Year, because if you're doing it on both ends and you're helping team win games, then, you know, what more do you want from him?
Yeah, Ray, do you think that Armani Brooks is that dude who plays pickup at LA Fitness and you get him on your team and he'll just score like 15 points by himself and he's part of your squad that you keep on the court and just run the entire afternoon session. Is that Armani Brooks? Because I feel like it is.
It's all going to be deep threes. He's just going to be red hot the whole game. I see him. He just seems like the type of player who comes in like some shorts, compression pants, maybe a long sleeve, and just dominates without breaking a sweat the whole game. It's crazy.
Yeah, he definitely has that swagger to him. And I feel like there's, reading Twitter tonight, right? Like the three of us do. We're on Twitter pretty often. There's enough Rockets fans for me that are wishing for a loss, which I don't feel like, even if the Rockets lose every single game from here on out, they still have the same chance at the overall number one pick, which is 18%. I think you need to take the wins where you can get them. This team will lose enough. They needed to win tonight, break the streak, and give these guys something positive to, go into the week with. Jake, do you agree with that? Or, is team lose every single game and ruin Mike Brown's, work week?
I mean, I still want to see wins. Like you said, I think a win every now and then is not a bad thing. And especially for the young guys, they don't want to be losing every game, even if they're aware of the situation. I think, getting a win every so often, I think will help their development, because, the game where they've tried really hard the whole game, they want to get a victory from that, not to, walk back to the locker room upset of the, the final result. So I think I'm not the one for losing every game. I've never already understood that, but, win tonight, I think, is going to help those guys in the long run, just, sticking out to the end and, getting that late win. So
With there's a lot that's said about the Rockets, how they kind of operate the franchise, all that. We've seen that a lot when James Harden and Russell Westbrook was being traded. But one thing that I've really got to take away is that they always compete. Everyone like credits them for how they never folded when the Warriors were on top of the league. They always were out there fighting. And I think we're still seeing that right now, is that even though the team's not necessarily the best, they're still, it feels like they're never out of a game unless they're playing like just the best team in the league or something like that. But they're always fighting, and I think that goes to show that there's a strong culture in Houston, and maybe one that doesn't get talked about enough.
Yeah, Ray, on piggybacking on that, I think the biggest question for this Rockets team at this point outside of the draft is what to do with Kelly Olynyk. What is your take on here on I almost called it Harden, my take. The Dream Shake, the number one podcast for SB Nation's The Dream Shake. I feel like it's going to take a lot of patrons going to Landry's restaurants and casinos of Tillman Fertitta's to re-sign Kelly Olynyk. Mm-hmm. I think the conversation starts at 4 years. I think it starts at $40 million. I think it's going to take a four-year, $50 million contract for Kelly Olynyk. A, do you think that that's the case? And B, if it is the case, if you're the Rockets, do you give him that type of contract?
I think that sounds about right, because he'll get less. He'll get offers that have less money, but from contenders. So for the Rockets, it's going to take a little more to keep him around. I don't know if I'd give it to him, though, because I'd like the option of keeping cap space open. And because you never know what could happen. Like, we see it time and time again in today's NBA. Like, you never know who can suddenly be available for trade, who might opt out of their player option in the summer. Or I guess not the, I don't know when free agency technically is this year. But just things like that. So I'd like to see them keep the cap space, but I don't know how realistic it is that they'd get a big name. And so it'd be pretty smart to keep the guys around that are contributing. So that was like a, I didn't really answer the question, but I wouldn't.
Thanks a lot, Ray.
It wouldn't be my first, like, I wouldn't say yes right away to doing it, but I'm also not in that position. I'm on locker room, so hey.
Jake, you doing that deal? 4 years, $50 million for one. The Canadian Hammer himself, Kelly Olynyk.
So I like his approach to the team. Like, he seems to be like in, like he says, he wants to change the culture. He wants to, make Houston a big team again. And if he's, depending on how they go, and like Ray said, there's a lot of stuff you could do in free agency. But I would sign it just purely because he seems invested in the team and he's invested in the youth, and he seems to want good things for this team. And you need someone like that in the locker room who's been around for a while, with these young guys to help him through this, you know, this tough period of losing a lot of games.
Yeah, the Ray, you say you want to keep the cap open, right?
Yeah.
The amount of money that this team has currently, and I think it's only going to get more, because after this season, if you look at players that the Rockets received in the James Harden trade as a whole, none of them are going to be signed to contracts after this year. Avery Bradley comes off the books. Kelly Olynyk is coming off the books. And, you know, 47, you know, future first-round picks don't have a salary at this point. Look, you could sign – you know, realistically, you could sign Kelly Olynyk and John Collins and still be saving money for not having James Harden on this team. I'm of the opinion they need to go after both of those guys and fortify your front line. John Collins would be the difference maker to me, but I feel like Kelly Olynyk is playing into a role that you can't afford to lose him, I don't feel like.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think what will be interesting about if they try to get John Collins and Kelly Olynyk is where they fall in the draft, because if they don't get the number one pick, but they stay within those top four picks and they decide to get a guy like Evan Mobley, then that might kind of change what they plan on doing in free agency. But I do like Kelly Olynyk. I like him a lot more than I did before he came to the Rockets. I don't know. For some reason, I just didn't like Kelly Olynyk. But he's really – I like the way he plays. He plays really patient. He has a nice touch on the game, and – he went to Gonzaga, I believe. So their big men usually are really patient in the post. They do a great job coaching them. But I'd love to see John Collins in Houston. That'd be big.
Jake, do you feel like – it's so funny watching these games now, right? Because my viewpoint has totally taken a 360 turn where now I don't even know what to root for in the latter part of these games. I'm like, okay, I want you to win. But then I also want you to lose because I want you to get the pick. But that doesn't make sense because you still only get a certain percentage of the number one pick, even if you lose. Like, I'm lost to win at some points. But a win felt good tonight. As a fan, are you in that same boat?
I think, like, early on this season, I think every Rockets fan, I think, had to make that, you know, make the decision that maybe losing games is not as bad as, you know, say, like, last year or whatever. But, I mean, my opinion for the past couple of months is that as long as we're competitive every game and, you know, not, you know, clearly trying to throw the game, I personally, I'm not bothered by it. I want to see the guys work hard and the young guys, you know, get time, but I want it to be, at least be competitive. I don't want to be getting blown out every game. So I'm, you know, it took me some time to get used to it, but I think, you know, because we've watched Houston be a winning team in, you know, in the regular season for so many years, I think it took time to get used to it, but I'm all for it now. I just want to see the young guys play well and just to get this, see this team get better game by game.
Ray, if the Rockets end up getting the second overall pick, and if you guys are just tuning in, this is the Dream Take podcast following the Rockets 114-110 win over the Orlando Disney Worlds, which is what I will call them now and forever. Second overall pick, who you taking? Assuming that Cade Cunningham goes first, would you take Evan Mobley? Would you take Jalen Suggs? Would you take Jalen Green?
Mm-hmm.
Which one of those three are you taking? Or somebody else out there that catches your eye?
It's really tough, but I think I'd go with Evan Mobley because I really like Jalen Suggs. Like, I am high on him, but for the long-term sake of the Rockets, and if you look at, like, future draft class, I don't know how often you'll keep seeing these big guys with such a dominant paint presence because there's a lot of bigger guards that are coming out, but Evan Mobley's, like, kind of a true big, just not with that traditional body from back before I was born. But, yeah, I'd go with Evan Mobley, but if they did go with Jalen Suggs, I think that'd be a great pick as well because I'd rather see Kevin Porter playing the two instead of the one. And I think Jalen Suggs, we've seen it in the tournament against Baylor. He was the only guy on the court who really seemed like he belonged when it comes to athleticism and just his competitiveness. Because Gonzaga was getting blown out, but Jalen Suggs was very much a factor in the game. And so, yeah, I'd go with Mobley but I'd love to see Jalen Suggs get picked too.
Jake, where are you going? Second overall pick.
I feel the same way. Like, I'd be happy with either one of them, but I think the thing that I think Houston needs the most really is just kind of a dominant force in the paint. And I think we've missed when Capella left. Like, you see what he's doing at Atlanta now, and I think he's a good comparison for Mobley. And just the rebounding force, the paint force, I think it's something that Houston could really benefit with. I take Suggs, but I do think that Poor needs to get as many minutes as he can because he can only get better.
I miss Clint Capella.
I do too.
I feel like he's like a long lost brother for the Rockets fan base. Like,
you see stats for his last game? He was like 24 points, 20 something rebounds. It's insane.
He's sick, right? Yeah. Like, I miss him. Like, I feel like, you know, we deserve to go get a meal together. You know, like, I feel like, you know, like him and I, like, we were buddy-buddy. But let me ask you this, right? And this may be just an off-the-wall kind of question. Are you a jersey guy?
Like, buying jerseys?
Yeah, like, are you, a jersey guy?
I'd say somewhat. I used to be more when I was younger. Now, my parents don't buy my jerseys anymore, and players leave teams very often.
That's fair.
So, it's a little tough, but I do enjoy a good jersey. I'm actually thinking about getting some and hanging them on a wall. So, probably not wearing them, but if I just get them framed, then definitely.
Okay, so the reason why I'm asking this question is because I feel like I was traumatized with the amount of James Harden memorabilia that I purchased. Mm-hmm. So now my next Rockets jersey, I don't know who it is. Of the current roster, if you had to buy a jersey, whose jersey are you buying and why?
I'd buy – it's going to be biased, but I'd buy Kevin Porter Jr.'s just because we're from the same area. And I've just watched him for so long and seen how – he's always had that confidence even that he plays with now, how – he has like a bounce to him where he looks like he feels like he's the best player on the court, even if he's not. And sometimes that could be a bad thing because guys just chuck up shots. But with him, he's still like trying to get guys involved. Like, he's just a commanding force. And for me, watching him so long, like way back in high school, it's just super cool. When I found out that he was going to the Rockets, I was super excited because I'm like, I write about this team. I'm going to get to see him all the time just playing and developing, and he's honestly surprised me. I didn't know he'd produce this much this year, but it definitely be Kevin Porter Jr.
Jake, where are you going?
See, I like Porter Jr. I think I'd probably go Tate. I think that's I think, you know, I just, you know, he just the how much he tries for this team, I think really, you know, a lot of the Houston fans just see it and love it. And I, you know, it's hard for me to get jerseys out here because, like, by the time they get here, the player's already gone somewhere else anyway. So, but I do plan on hopefully getting a jersey for this season, but we'll see. But Tate's my pick.
Okay. I mean, I'm leaning towards Anthony Lamb. I mean, I'm kidding. But I honestly feel like Jason Tate is probably it. Tate, to me, has just been such a... How did the rest of the league miss out on this guy? Like, where was everybody with Jason Tate? How in the world was this guy not signed to a team before the Rockets got him?
No, like, idea.
It's shocking to me. Like, he's the prototypical guy that you want on your team at this point. But Ray, I want to touch on something that you said. You feel like Kevin Porter Jr. is not a point guard. I feel like that's a relatively hot take. Do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, so I think he does facilitate what you like to see at the point guard position. But with him, I feel like, I don't know, I think I just prefer him in the shooting guard role and have someone else who's dishing a lot more because he's a really good scorer, and obviously Houston got used to having a really good scorer who could also facilitate. But Kevin Porter Jr. also isn't quite on that level yet, and I think it might stunt his growth trying to put him into that position so fast because there is a lot of good point guards in this league, and there are a lot of them that are good on defense, a lot of them that are good on offense, and I think it might kind of slow him down a little bit because he has to worry about too much. But just watching him in high school, he was more of a shooting guard role, and he also went to high school with DeJounte Murray, so yeah, that's another NBA guy who was playing point guard. But he just, to me, he seems more comfortable in the shooting guard role. So that's why I kind of feel that way.
Jake, do you agree or do you have a counterpoint?
It's an interesting point because I think, like, depending on if we do get Mobley as well, like, then it'll be interesting to see if, like, if John Wall sticks around, will he stay at point guards, which means that obviously Porter will stay at shooting guard. If John Wall goes, does that mean Porter starts at point guard? Like, I don't know. I do think he's comfortable at the shooting guard position, but I don't know. It's interesting because he's good at passing. So, like, I want him to be the facilitator, but I don't know. That's a good. I don't know. I guess I could agree with it to an extent.
It's another reason why I feel like this draft for the Rockets will shape the next 5 to 10 years of this franchise.
Mm.
Because I feel like, are we all on the same page that Cade Cunningham would be the point guard of this team, or is he not?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
To get Cade Cunningham, we're answering our own questions, right? Like, he's the point guard. Kevin Porter Jr. is your two, or your shooting guard. But I think they would share the role. But that, to me, like, maybe I'm in the minority. I feel like if you get the number one pick, obviously you take Cunningham. But I feel like you're going to stunt the growth of Kevin Porter Jr. And this, Ray, is why I ask you, because I feel like if you're taking the ball out of his hands, he's not going to be as effective. He's not a three-point shooter, I don't feel like, to impact the game consistently that way. That's why I feel like if you get Cade Cunningham, I think you have a very interesting dilemma on this team. And I would still take it, but that's why Mobley, to me, is the pick. I feel like Mobley helps mold the rest of this roster in a way that none of the other players in this draft can. That's where I stand with the draft.
And I think that's an interesting point because whoever gets the number one pick, there's going to be so much pressure to draft Cade Cunningham. And in reality, it might just be he fits or someone else fits better. Like if Houston gets the number one pick, maybe Evan Mobley just fits better than Cade Cunningham. But if they don't draft Cade Cunningham and then Cade Cunningham turns out to be all that he's hyped up to be, then it's going to be like a big mistake that everybody talks about for years. But when it comes to fit, it might be better, like you're saying. I feel the same way, that it'd be better to get Mobley because then you're taking the ball out of Kevin Porter Jr.'s hand. And if Kevin Porter Jr. is getting the ball less, then Jayshon Tate's getting the ball less. And it's like, it becomes a gradual thing down the roster. So sometimes I guess it might be better to end up with the two pick than the one pick, because then you kind of have the freedom to go with who you want when there's such a, like, everyone thinks that one guy's going to go number one.
And obviously I think, Jake, as we get closer to the draft, we'll do a deeper dive into it. But that's why I think this summer, to me, is a really big pivot point for ownership of this Rockets franchise. Like, Tillman Fertitta has got to show the franchise that he's willing to spend the money to put a winner on the court. And I don't know if he's willing to do that. You know, he's got to supplement this team with some more legit NBA talent. Anthony Lamb, love you, guy. You are not NBA talent at this point. You belong in the G League. Like, you don't belong anywhere near an NBA roster. They've got to find some guys to replace guys like Anthony Lamb. And I don't know if that's free agency. I think it's more of in the draft. They could have 3 first-round picks. This team is going to look entirely different next year, and I'm excited to see it.
Mm-hmm. I am too. I think another thing as well is, like, you know, Rafael Stone has ruled us a future with our picks, and I think Tillman just needs to, you know, just help him in this situation to get this team back to being competitive. And I think he just needs to, you know, like, just pay the people that we should stay and, you know, just make the right changes for this team to help the guys that we have already. And, you know, just to, because Rafael Stone said he wants a quick turnaround in terms of rebuild, and that can only be possible if Tillman supports the team.
Yeah, so let's go to, we have a speaker request from Mauricio. Mauricio, you are on with the Hebrew Hammer, Mr. Ray Lucas, and Jake Mountford. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm glad that the Rockets won tonight.
Same. What you got for us?
Who's the big name in free agency besides John Collins this year?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Most notably, it's very guard-driven. I know Andre Drummond is going to be a free agent from the center position, but Chris Paul, is going to be a free agent this summer. Let me see here. Yeah, but those are the bigger names. Kawhi Leonard, I know, is going to be a free agent. Mike Conley is a free agent. Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Otto Porter Jr. It's so funny. If you look at the top 10 free agents, according to SpotTrack, three of them have played for the Rockets. You've got Goran Dragic, Victor Oladipo, Kyle Lowry, and Chris Paul. I think that four of the top 10 have been Rockets, so that's weird. Yeah, those are probably some of the bigger names. Kelly Olynyk, obviously. J.J. Redick, Will Barton.
Did the Rockets try to get Kawhi for, like, a small forward position?
Absolutely not, because I feel like Kawhi Leonard would not waste his time with a rebuild at this point in his career. If that happens, I mean, every Rocket fan needs to go buy a lottery ticket. Something's going down in society if Kawhi Leonard is coming here. But yeah, I mean, I think it's – and Ray and Jake, you guys correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like of all the guys we just talked about, it's John Collins or bust for this team. I think that's the only big step forward that the Rockets can take with free agency.
Yeah, I definitely agree. This is going to sound crazy depending on how you feel about the player, but I think definitely John Collins is the guy who would make the biggest difference. But is Lonzo Ball a restricted free agent this year?
I believe he is.
Because I feel like if there was a point guard that you was going to bring to Houston that's not necessarily going to take shots out of
He's restricted.
Kevin Porter Jr. Yeah, so I feel like if there was a point guard that you was going to bring to Houston that's not going to, like, stunt the growth, it's going to be him. And I think it helps a lot if you get John Collins, too.
But then he has to split up the minutes with DJ Augustine, or is his contract up this year?
No, DJ Augustine is signed for one more season. I feel like Lonzo Ball is a really interesting name, but I feel like he's going to get big money this offseason. I don't know why. I don't think the world of John or of Lonzo Ball. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's great.
Mm-hmm.
But Ray, you're saying that a guy who would be more of a facilitator for Kevin Porter Jr. and not take shots away from a guy like Jayshon Tate or Kevin Porter Jr. Is that what you're...
Yeah, pretty much. And also fits the rebuild because younger player, it's not like he's looking to win any championships anytime soon. So I think he fits in well, but I also think he'll get big money. There's going to be some teams that are really interested in him, especially teams that come up short this postseason. So it'll be tough. But I guess we'll just wait and see.
Yeah. Mauricio, thank you so much for the question. We appreciate it very much. Kind of putting a bow on this game tonight. The minute allocation, can somebody please explain to me what the hell is going on with Avery Bradley and why he's playing 30-plus minutes a game? Because I just don't get it.
No, neither do I.
Like, why are we not playing the new kid, Jeffries? Is that his name, Jeffries?
Yeah, Jeffries.
Yeah, Daquan Jeffries.
You bring him here for what? If he's not going to play, it doesn't make sense to me. You look at a night like tonight, Avery Bradley, 34 minutes?
34 minutes, yeah, that is crazy.
What's going on with him? It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, yeah, it beats me.
Ray, can you try and figure out, you know, what he's doing? And especially with a guy like Armani Brooks, he got 26 minutes, you know, which he's playing more than 26 minutes at this point. He's your best shooter. He spreads the floor. He does so much for this roster. I just don't get what Avery Bradley does.
Yeah, maybe he's an on-court leader because at this point it's not like they're playing him trying to have him boost his trade value because the deadline's passed. So I don't necessarily know what they're doing with him, but maybe he's just a big leader for them. And it's interesting because last year he was playing so great, and this year he hasn't been – nearly the same player, and maybe that's due to motivation, maybe that's just due to him getting older, because I feel like his season with the Lakers kind of caught everybody off guard, because he looked reinvented for a second. But yeah, I don't really understand what's going on with that. I think Armani Brooks, like you said, he had 26 minutes, 16 points, and I feel like what can he do if he has more minutes, and if Because at this point, it's all about the young players. Mm-hmm. It's every night. It's like win, lose, doesn't really matter because they're building to the draft. But it's all about developing your young guys, and I feel like this is the perfect opportunity to do that. So I don't quite understand it.
Jake, anything to add on top of that?
I mean, like, I don't understand it, and I think that a player like Brooks getting more minutes, getting more shots is only a good thing. And if, you know, like Ray said, he could be a really good sixth man. And having Bradley play 34 minutes a game and taking minutes off players who need the minutes as most, I don't really understand it. And I hope that, you know, with the players like Brooks who are proving that they need to play good minutes every night, I think hopefully his minutes do diminish slowly. But I don't know. I mean, with the players we've got out, he probably will be, you know, starting the games that Wall don't start on back to back. So I don't think it's the last we're going to see of Bradley getting 30 plus minutes, unfortunately.
So I'm looking at some of the quotes post game, and I feel like going back to the Canadian hammer himself, Kelly Olynyk, I feel like we're in that weird, awkward dating stage with Kelly Olynyk. Like, we're going out on dates, everything is going well. But then, like, when we finally get the nerve to ask him to make this thing official, he's going to leave us at the altar. That's what it feels like. You know, like, he's so happy. He's like, oh, my God, Silas's system is great. I feel like, you know, I have all this freedom on the court, all this. I'm like, yeah, it's great. You know, sign your contract extension. I feel like he's going to leave us at the altar, though.
Do you think he just knows the right things to say in the situation he's in?
I do, because I think he's a professional's professional.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, he's the guy that he showed up. He's like, look, like he goes from a team with the Heat that is going to compete, I feel like, in the East. I don't think they're going to win the East, but I feel like they're good enough to win in the first round and get to a second round matchup. Like, to move from that, to a team that's in full rebuild mode, I think it takes, you know, a pretty big guy, you know, with a good work ethic to come in here and play the way that he's played. Do you agree with that, Ray?
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. Definitely a professional is a professional. And I think he's also just a guy that really loves playing basketball. And so every opportunity that he has, he's going to take it the same way and just be grateful for it. But yeah, I could see the leaving us at the altar, because he looks like a guy who's playing for a contract, whether it's an extension or whether it's from someone else. And it's like kind of the montage point, like you were saying, like the music's going good, or seeing like random clips of just eating ice cream together and all that. And then all of a sudden he's not on the team next year. So
we're eating ice cream together. What are we eating, Ray? What kind of ice cream is being eaten by Kelly Olynyk?
I mean, my personal favorite is probably Oreo.
Okay.
But I'm also lactose intolerant, so maybe that wasn't the best example.
All right, so let's sum this up. We've got lactose intolerant Rockets fans eating Oreo ice cream with Kelly Olynyk. We're sitting here, we're watching Netflix, it's going well, and then boom, lactose intolerance kicks in and he leaves us and goes somewhere else. Fantastic. Thanks, Ray. For ruining my night.
Just doing my part.
Thanks, Ray, so much. At least hopefully you don't guarantee victory like you did last time, and then we lose by 74 points.
That was terrible. That was really bad. And then it was like, I think they won a game after that and then lost that, went on that really long losing streak. So I felt really bad. I was like, maybe not that many people listen to the podcast, but yikes.
Well, yeah, the numbers are pretty strong despite you guaranteeing victory. Rockets play the Miami Heat tomorrow. What's a couple things to look for you guys? We'll start with Jake and then move to Ray. What are y'all looking for in the game tomorrow night against the 29-28 Miami Heat?
Unfortunately, Vic's out, so we don't get that.
Oh, there's shock. Victor Oladipo's not playing the game. Color me surprised.
Exactly. So that's a shame. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, Miami's always tough, and even with injuries, you know, they have such a deep team. I don't know. As I said, like with most games, as long as we're competitive, that's all that matters to me. I just want to get blown out. It's just, you know, it's just depressing watching that, and especially for me, it's up early hours in the morning watching it. You know, it's just like, it's the last thing I want to see. I just want to see a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Ray, what about you?
I think so. With Kevin Porter Jr., there's been two things. It's been inconsistency, and it's been three-point shooting. Tonight, he went 4-for-7 from three, so that shows progress right there. So I want to see if he can consistently rattle off some big games, because he had, what, 22 tonight? And a pretty efficient game, 8-for-15, sorry, from the field. And he'll be matched up with Jimmy Butler at times, so that's not going to be an easy guy to score on. So I want to see how he takes that challenge, how he handles, like, just seeing his progression as a player, because you got to do it every night in this league.
So I feel like if we win tomorrow night, that's a winning streak, which I don't believe we've had in about 4 months, is what it feels like. So I don't know what that would feel like if we win tomorrow. But I'm excited for the game tomorrow. Hopefully we win. We probably won't. Ray, do you want to go on record guaranteeing a victory or no?
I would like to decline that opportunity, but thank you.
Okay, okay. Well, here at the Dream Take, we are all about giving people
opportunity. That was a good point. He said, what if I do the opposite?
Okay, are you going to guarantee a loss?
That's kind of harsh. I guarantee – no, I'm not going to do it. It's okay.
Well, let's say this. Do you want to guarantee that there will be a game tomorrow?
Yeah, I guarantee that we will see.
You're never allowed to guarantee anything ever again.
Do you guarantee that Brooks will shoot like at least more than 4 threes tomorrow?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I'll go with that. I guarantee that Armani Brooks will shoot at least 4 3-pointers. Yeah, not make, but shoot.
I really hope he only shoots 3. So that way,
I don't know what I'll do.
Ray and be like, ha, wrong again.
Over. Do you really want to see that, Michael? Or do you want to see him shoot?
I mean, if it's up to me, I want to see Armani Brooks shoot like
four. Yeah.
Just get the ball and just throw it at the rim, like, and see if it goes in. He is probably the second prettiest jumper I have ever seen in my life. I'm not even kidding you.
It's so smooth, man. It's so smooth. He's just like, as soon as you release it, like, that's going in.
Well, I mean, in only to mine, but that's the point. I mean,
I see footage of that.
Jewish Community Center rec league in 2014 and 3-point percentage. So, you know, that's basically the same thing with what Armani Brooks is doing, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Well, on that note, I think we can go ahead and wrap this show up. Jake, thank you so much for hopping on as you usually do and kind of lead the charge here with Ray and I. Ray, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on. You are always welcome back anytime you are free, my man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I will be back soon. School is almost over, so it's on the way.
Well, I would tell you the Dream Take is much more important than school, but I would probably be wrong. Once again, this has been an episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast, recapping tonight's beautiful score of 114-110. The Rockets defeat the Disney World Magic. You can check out The Dream Take on Twitter at The Dream Take. Make sure to follow the mothership of The Dream Take, The Dream Shake, on Twitter at Dream Shake SBN. You can follow my personal Twitter at BSW_MB. Ray, where can we find you on Twitter, my man?
At Raymond Lucas Jr.
Fantastic. While you are done on Twitter, go over to Facebook, follow The Dream Shake by searching The Dream Shake. We will come out with our scheduling shows at some point tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that. And until next time, Rockets fans, go Rockets!